Murray, I have a question for you. Very nice. Good singing. Can you say into the mic, "All right, let's do it." Excellent. You perform very well. Is there anything else you'd like to say in here? Hey, I'm Derek.
And I'm Tanya.
We've got three kids. Rainy.
Your Highness.
Emerson.
Okay, let's do it.
And Atlas. We're set to learn about marriage, parenting, and whatever else comes up as we stumble through the joys and sorrows of life.
This is the journey of two young, homeschooled Christian parents exploring what we're teaching and learning while we grow ourselves and raise our kids.
Welcome back to the podcast, you delicious kiwi, you.
Maybe a delicious kiwi bird.
Oh, that would work too, yeah. A delicious kiwi bird.
Mm.
What do they look like?
I don't know. I'm seeing like a dodo in my head. I mean, no, not a dodo, a duo like Pokemon.
Duo, yeah, duo.
That's not...
I think you're probably right. So they are in Australia. Yeah, I think you're right. They're very similar to a doduo. Doduo.
Oh, this is so cute.
It is cute with this little pointy beak.
Was your asthma horrible today?
No.
Mine
no, it
was.
Wasn't.
Like, I was sneezy and then I was like wheezy. Sneezy, wheezy, beautiful.
Huh.
Asthma girl.
That's weird. Yeah, I don't know.
I should stop riffing off of CoverGirl because a lot of people probably won't catch that. Anyways.
Oh, you're making references to TV shows?
No. Do you know what CoverGirl is?
Isn't that a magazine?
That's a good guess because it has cover in the word, but try again.
And it's not a TV show?
No.
Is it a movie?
It's a makeup brand.
What are you riffing off of? Just like, is it like a line, like a...
Yeah, their catchphrase is easy breezy. Wait, now I'm going to like lose my mind. Cover girl. Maybelline is like, maybe it's Maybelline.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Maybe she was born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. Okay, look up cover girl.
Easy breezy brow. Easy breezy beautiful.
Cover girl.
Cover girl.
Yeah.
Cover girl, easy breezy beautiful.
Yep. Okay, I'm not losing my mind.
Yeah, so, easy breezy beautiful color, CoverGirl.
Yes.
CoverGirl has decided to say...
Actually, no, we don't need recent news. That's why I'm riffing off of whenever I say wheezy sneezy.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Asthma girl.
Nice.
But
you know, it's not actually a current tagline of theirs. Right now, they have a brand new theme as of like 2017. I am what I make up.
Well, that's stupid.
What do you want to make up today?
That's me. But I feel like that really feeds in the culture that like you're not beautiful unless like you're only beautiful if you put makeup on. Like that's what. Anyways.
Yeah, but easy breezy beautiful does sound very 50s. So I get it.
I'm old. Get off my lawn. Okay, what have you been learning?
I am 65.
It's been 84 years.
Nobody changed my CoverGirl tagline. I am an easy breezy beautiful girl.
Just in case everybody does not find us as amusing as we find each other, what have you been learning recently?
Oh, boy. I would just prefer to keep talking like an old lady, if that's all right.
I mean, it's probably... I do think that a lot of people in this big, bright, beautiful world are missing out on Derek reading children's books. I mean, I was just thinking today, like, I feel like as a service to the world, I should live stream you reading a children's book at some point.
Hmm. Boy, I don't know how I'd feel, but I would just have to make peace with that beforehand.
I won't do it. It was just a thought that I had today as I was reading to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Story time with Derek. We just need to get you on like a radio theater of some sort. Boy, I feel like there's hair stuck in my headphones.
Oh, that's gross.
Which, no, like just that like something is tickling me in my ear.
Oh, huh.
It's the headphone demons whispering to me. I haven't built up our hedge of protection around our house recently. I'm being very sarcastic for those who don't know us very well. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't catch the demons comment. It was funny. Good job.
So what have you been learning recently?
Mushy. I don't remember if I mentioned this before, but bubbles make a sound when they pop. Have I mentioned this before? Did I mention this on a podcast before?
I don't think so.
Okay. Bubbles make a sound when they pop.
Well, how did you not know this?
Well, I never existed around bubbles popping when, like, and I'm talking like soap bubbles. I never existed around like when you're blowing bubbles and like it was quiet enough for me to hear them pop. They make a nice little. It's really cute, and I just never occurred to me that you'd be able to hear that sound.
Yes. So how long is your list if this is something that's on it?
This is the very, very lowest one. I have like 3 things.
Okay.
If that.
Yeah. All right. Well.
This one's been hanging out in there for a while. I just wanted to get it in here.
Real quality material to stick around. I love you very much.
Hey, it's the little things that we learn that enrich our lives.
I learned why our neighbors across the street drive over sometimes. Margie was very concerned that everybody would think her husband, well, he is concerned that everybody would think that he's a lazy bum because he drives across the street to help our neighbors over, like, next door to us. Uh-huh. One of our neighbors is in a wheelchair, so when her husband is working, our neighbors across the street sometimes come over and help out. Anyways, it's because he has a heart defibrillator, and he's not allowed to walk over the dog fence, or he will get shocked.
That's amazing.
So I didn't know that if you have a heart defibrillator, you cannot walk over a dog fence. Apparently, his cardiologist said if he could jump 6 feet into the air, then he'll be fine. He didn't think he could because I don't know how old he is. That's maybe in his 80s.
Crazy. I'm trying to figure out how that works, why that works that way.
So, but if he drives over in a car, he doesn't get shocked.
Yeah, because he's basically in a Faraday cage.
But my first thought was, I would be terrified to walk around on other people's property. Like,
yeah.
Because you have no idea.
You wouldn't want to wander around on strange land because, yeah, huh. I wonder, I'm going to have to ponder that one for a while. Like, does...
Maybe this is like an old-timey heart defibrillator. Like, I mean...
I got mine back when I was in my 20s.
I got it back when the CoverGirl slogan was the old one.
Back when everything was easy, breezy, beautiful.
I feel like technology should be better than that.
But... Yeah. Well, it must be something to do with the signal that a dog fence gives off. Because the dog fence itself does not give the shock. It sends a signal to the collar to give a shock. There must be something about the radio frequency that is similar between them, but wow, that's really interesting.
Magnets.
Yeah. How do they work? Magic.
I need to stop referencing the Dream Podcast because this is going to become Set to Learn, the Dream Podcast.
The jig was up when they told me not to
take my jewelry off.
Take my jewelry off.
That was so good. All right, what else?
Atlas has learned that nighttime is not just for expressing needs, but also opinions.
Yes.
She has decided that, actually, she's been fairly good about it recently, but it was just one night that she woke up, and she was not just crying because she was hungry and just kind of upset about being awake. She was upset.
Yeah.
She was angry.
Yeah.
That her mouth was not full of breast milk yet.
There's a difference between like crying from a need and crying because it's like, you guys are total idiots.
Yeah.
Why exactly. Can you not get your craft together?
The incompetence.
Which I get it. I'm sure sometimes we deserve it, but no.
This generation of kids didn't even appreciate the old CoverGirl slogan.
We need to stop. Oh, man. Yeah, it's funny when I put her down for naps because sometimes she wants to be cuddled and other times she's like, put me down. You incompetent human.
Tonight, she was fine when I was rocking her after I swaddled her, but then once I put her down, she wouldn't even open her eyes, but like, and it was dark, so I couldn't quite see, but I could basically tell her face was turning red, and she was going like, instead of like normal crying, she's just grunting really loudly.
Yep. She has thoughts.
Yeah, she's going through another leap right now, which, I mean...
She's been a pretty good sport about
it. She's been pretty good
one.
About it, yeah. Yeah.
How
about what else
so
are you learning?
So the longer that I parent, the more I realize how silly the English language is.
Yes, that's fun.
And how many words I use that my toddlers don't frequently hear elsewhere, which is my fault because I like finding the exact word that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. But the other day, Rainey was going down for a nap and I said something to her and she turns around. She's like, I don't like when you call me P.S. I was like, I realized that like normally if she's getting up in arms about something and there's like more information that I have to give her and I'm trying to keep it lighthearted, I'll be like, mm-hmm. P.S., you know, and then mm-hmm. say it. All this time, she thinks that I've been calling her P.S.
Postscript, what would you like for breakfast this morning? Eggs or a nice cup of cereal?
But I love when I get stuck in those loops when she says, what does this word mean? And I give her another one. And she's like, but what does that word mean? And so I give her another one. Well, what does that word? Oh, I said the other day, Murray's beginning to phase out. We were outside and he was starting to get grumpy. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was Atlas. But anyways, she's like, what does phase out mean? And I was like, I'm trying to think of like a way to describe phase. So I actually had to look up the description and then explain. It's like a sequence of time. But it's like phase out is a very specific, like you can't. That's why I used it. It was what I wanted to say.
You get out a piece of graph paper and just start drawing sine waves on it and just start explaining the... how electricity works and the phrases of, I'm just kidding.
Or you can just explain a bunch of different words.
Yeah.
Just like she said she didn't like the word boss today because I was telling her that she needed to be the boss of her emotions and not let her emotions be the boss of her. But she likes the word queen, so.
That works.
That
yeah.
Instead.
Yas, queen. I keep trying
I
to figure out
over
here.
I
want
to be able to say bougie and lit, but I feel like I'm like not cool enough to say bougie and lit.
I say lit all the time. I say lit and rad. So
but
I
do you
like
say litty? Because lit is gone now.
Huh?
It's litty now.
Litty? Oh, boy. Oh, I feel my old on that one. I think I could probably do it. It's litty? Like, okay,
easy,
use it in a sentence for
breezy,
me.
Easy, litty. Yes, this is not that funny. We're really tired.
Oh, that's good. I'm so glad you made that happen. That's yep. Okay. All right. We'll just move on from that. Something I learned recently is that we could totally pay off our house this year if we wanted to.
This is probably not something you should brag about.
No, but it's part of our lives and it's exciting. It's something that I want to talk about and kind of process because this isn't, it's not like this is an easy decision.
I still feel like it's like, it's because my parents were always like, we're not going to tell anyone when we pay off our mortgage.
Yeah,
we're not going to tell anyone when dad retires because so many people can't like.
Okay, Let me, I'm just going to address this head on right now, because this is a pet peeve of mine that people never talk about money because they're afraid of coming across braggadocious, or they just don't think it's appropriate for something. Actually, as a side note, I've become known at my job as the person that uses college level words when I'm in the office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of a cool reputation.
How did you find out about this?
Well, it's just every time I use a large-ish word, like braggadocious, for instance, just casually, they're like, "Whoa, that's a word."
I can picture this in my head. You work with really intelligent
guys.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. It's not like they don't understand what I'm talking about most of the time. But,
and there's a lot of street smart and like life knowledge.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm gonna address this concern head on, because when people don't talk about finances or how much they get paid or how much they make in a year or like what their costs are, nobody else has any like idea of what everybody else has to struggle with around them. And everybody struggles with finances in some way or another in different ways. And it's useful to know that information. Like, it's been a dream of mine for a while to start a podcast on finances that is where we talk specifically about dollar value, like what we make every week or month down to the dollar and cent. Like, Which feels braggadocious, but there's people out there that definitely make more than me, and there's always people out there that make less than me. And no matter who you are, that's the case. So you're always going to be better off or worse off than somebody else. And sometimes somebody who makes more money than somebody else is actually worse off because they're in a different location where they have higher residential costs and things like that. So all of these things come together are important when talking about finances. And I don't know. People should talk about finances more, basically. That's my case. And so I'm going to talk about our mortgage here for a little bit. We bought this house. Well, I bought this house when I was still single. And you know, then Tanya joined me later, which I was very happy about. But I've had this for 6-7 years now-ish. I bought it for $65,000, which is dirt cheap. Like, it found a series of hilarious circumstances turned into me getting this house for $65,000. I was not necessarily looking for a house, but here I am. So the mortgage has always been pretty cheap, and we've tried to chip away at it as much as possible, when we can, but the mortgage just hit, under 40,000 recently. Now it's around 37,000, and the combined like total in our bank accounts right now is about 30,000 with like savings and whatever we have like thrown in there. That's part of our working budget. And seeing those numbers come together, be like, we're really close. We could totally pay this off. Like, if we really work hard this year, we could totally pay this off. And so got really excited about it. But then, you know, once we start talking to other people about it, they're like, well, maybe you shouldn't pay it off. You should keep that liquid cash so that you can pay more on the next house. And then you sell this. And then when you sell this one, you can throw all that money towards the other house. And it's all like, yeah, I have so many feelings about this, Tanya. And what are your feelings on this after talking with my parents?
I went to do all the things all at once. And I'm not sure that my perspective of finances is healthy right now, because I want to be like,
well, what do you want to do right now? Like, what is your perspective on finances, regardless of if it's healthy or not?
Yes.
I bet you want them.
I want money to do the things of which we
and
should be
doing. And to do the right things.
Together. Easy breezy, frugal, full.
Somebody like Dave Ramsey would say, just pay off the house and then save up the money for the next house. That doesn't necessarily, like, when you count the dollars and cents, and like, if you, depending on the timeline you want to go for, that doesn't necessarily make sense, but it relieves a lot on the mental burden. And anyway, so
did you know that alcohol hugely increases your risk for cancer?
Where are you getting this information?
CDC and American Cancer Society. Okay. Apparently, it's not very commonly known. Like 7 out of 10 people don't realize the link between the two.
Yes, this is something I have never heard before in my life. How did you find this out?
Well, they talked about that on the Dream Podcast. Pretty sure. A health expert was talking about, like, that there are some things that you know of that will increase cancer, such as this, this, and this. And I was like, alcohol? Drinking alcohol raises the risk of some cancers. Drinking any kind of alcohol can contribute to the cancers of the mouth and throat, larynx, esophagus, colon and rectum, liver and breast in women. The less alcohol you drink, the lower the risk of cancer. And it says even like one drink a week can up, one drink a day, can up your percentage. And it's less about, like, apparently it's more about the amount over time that you drink. When you drink alcohol, your body breaks it down into a chemical called acetaldehyde. I'm probably butchering that. It damages your DNA and prevents your body from repairing the damage. DNA is the cell's instruction manual that controls the cell's normal growth and function. When DNA is damaged, a cell can begin growing out of control and create a cancer tumor.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And all then right. Another, what I was reading from the, I was reading about like the buildup of ethanol and how that, so it's not even like different percentages of ethanol, but general like standardized drinks. Anyways, I have many feelings.
How about that?
I mean, cancer has run in my family, but it's always been like cancer of the lung and stuff because people were avid smokers.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I guess I'm just going to switch to exclusively pot brownies now. So,
but,
That should cut out the cancer issues, right? I mean, we don't have any studies on marijuana to say there's cancer potential there. So, I mean, we're probably good. We're safe until we know that we're not safe, right?
Anyways, you can continue talking about the mortgage. I'm just going to slowly collapse within myself.
You know, just because it raises a chance doesn't mean that you're going to have cancer, because, like, everybody drinks alcohol and not everybody gets breast cancer. For instance,
I think CDC said raises like chances of like liver cancer by 30%. 30 freaking percent.
Man. Well, yeah, because I mean, your liver has to actively deal with the alcohol. I think that would make sense.
I don't want cancer anywhere. I don't want it in my mouth. I don't want it in my liver.
But that doesn't, I mean,
easy,
if you're drinking,
easy, beautiful dead man.
I keep trying to find these connections too. You keep finding them first. I'm very happy about this. I think
deeply anxious right now, but I'm glad that just keep talking about the mortgage.
You really should just stop looking at medical stuff in general.
I want to be informed, man.
Yeah. It's
need to do my own research.
It's good for your health.
Just saw somebody else talking about putting essential oils in their dryer, and I was like,
you'll
no!
burn your house down.
Stop it. Why?
Oh, man. All right. Well, I think I was done with the mortgage. I don't remember where I was going, but I think I wrapped it up, most of what I wanted to say. So, yeah, I guess we can move on to the next thing. Do you have more things that you've learned?
Well, I've learned just now not to research alcohol and cancer as a link. But I have learned recently that it's good to speak out your parenting insecurities to other parents, because you may find that you probably will find that all of them are the same. Mm-hmm. In fact, it might be refreshing for us to just spit out any parenting insecurities we have in one of our podcast episodes, because,
yeah,
you know. But I was talking to a friend who was, I was asking about how their homeschooling was going, and then she had asked about our plans. So unschooling came up,
mm-hmm.
and she was asking for more. And I was like, you know, like, truly and honestly, I have these like fears in my head about like, we're going to go to the doctor's office and they're going to give us a test, like an eyesight test, and my kid won't be able to do it because my kid doesn't know how to read yet because my kid is learning to read at their own rate. And she's like, I have the same exact fears and we're not unschooling. It's just like, ah, okay. Like, mm-hmm. everybody's going to survive, you know?
Yep, yep, yep.
So
it's almost like we shouldn't care what society thinks. We should just do what's best for the child.
So here's the thing. You have to find the line between being a haughty, I know all the things person and being like, you want to find those middle lines. You want to be teachable and you want to be not proud.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to be like, I know all the things because data can go so many different directions. But you also mm-hmm. don't want to be the person that's like, I have no idea what I'm doing mm-hmm. at all, which might be true, but it's not how I feel right now.
Yeah.
Anyways, where was I going with that? Oh, don't speak out fear. Like, if you have irrational fears, I probably would not recommend sharing that because moms really like to talk about fears, like of things happening to their family, and then they spread those fears around that are irrational fears and just
mm-hmm.
not a good idea. But
yeah,
insecurities.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's all I have for today, folks. Goodbye. I'm going to go hyperventilate in a corner about cancer. I don't even drink that much alcohol. Like,
no,
everybody's
you don't.
Probably listening to this thinking like, oh my goodness, how much is she drinking?
That she's so concerned about this.
Just any alcohol linked to cancer. I can feel it.
Uh-huh.
Negative 100 hertz.
See, that's why you need to drink whiskey, because it'll kill off all the cancer cells.
Higher levels of
that's
ethanol.
How that works. Wait, does that mean we got, what, are people drinking gas from a gas station? Like ethanol? What's that? Never mind. I'm sorry. That was a terrible joke. I'm going to...
talk about ADHD.
Actually, speaking of terrible jokes, I have been caught up in a bureaucratic nightmare at work that I find mildly interesting that I want to share really quick. Right now I'm working desperately on trying to get my New Jersey license approved. You may have remembered that I passed my New Jersey license test like 4 months ago. And that's all great and good, but...
I bought him Borderlands 3 as a reward. Derek, are you completely through Borderlands 3?
I've played through the main missions twice, and...
And his license is still not here.
My license is still not here. No, there's still paperwork to fill out. I filled out all the paperwork, sent it in, needed more paperwork, but sent that in. And now, like, and I was told...
I heard all this before. Can I research cancer some more?
That's fine. Go ahead. No, stop it. You're going to hurt yourself. Like 3 weeks ago, I called in and she was like, okay, yeah, all right. I think I have all your stuff now. So this coming Tuesday, we'll have that in the mail. It'll come out to you. It'll be great. And I was like, wow, I did not expect it to be that fast. Are you sure? She's like, yeah, yep. And so, yeah, we'll send that out Tuesday. Tuesday came and went, and the status on the license portal is still pending. And 3 days after that, it was still pending. So I started calling in, being like, hey, trying to get in contact with, her name's Gertrude. And so I keep calling in saying, hey, can I talk to Gertrude? And the call attendants will be more or less helpful depending on who I get. Some people will be like, no, Gertrude's not available, go away. And other people will be like, oh yes, I remember you. You've called in like 5 or 6 times. How are things going? I'm like, great. I'm still trying to find my permit. And so, but Gertrude never picks up her phone. I'm convinced at this point she
is that just, actually her name, Gertrude?
Her name is actually Gertrude,
wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm convinced at this point that whenever Gertrude sees my number pass her like phone number, she's like, oh, I'm not answering that. It's impossible at this point. I've called it too many different times of the day that she has to be just screening her calls when I'm calling.
Maybe she's on vacation.
And then her
maybe
voice.
Maybe she just had a baby.
No.
Maybe that's she not has a loved one in the hospital.
I don't.
Who drank alcohol and now has cancer.
So I was leaving her voicemails. Eventually, her voicemail box, last I checked, is now full. So I can't leave her any more voicemails. I do have her email address. So now my strategy is every day I am emailing her with a dad joke. I you know, do some sort of pleasant title for the email. Then I kind of like do something conversational right at the beginning of the email that transitions into some sort of really cheesy dad joke. And then
you are reminding her of what you're actually looking
yes,
for, right?
And then under the dad joke, I put this small paragraph of, hey, these are the two things that I want to these two pieces of information that I would like to hear from you. This is all you need to get me to go away. Please tell me these things. And then I sign my
name. I don't like that you're doing that. You're basically bullying the poor person. She doesn't have control over some things.
She could give me information. This would take her 30 seconds in order to explain to me what is going on. Because she specifically said that it would come out at a particular point in time. And it has not. And she is in charge of these business permits.
Like, well,
she is the person
in
charge
of these
things. As in
it was supposed to be mailed to you?
It was supposed to be mailed to me.
Are they sure that it wasn't mailed to you and got lost?
It is definitely not mailed to me yet because you can check online the status of licenses and business permits, and it is still pending. And every time I call in, they're like, oh, yeah, it's still pending. So I don't know. I am stuck in some sort of a terrible...
dark comedy.
Yeah, and... and our company really needs this to come through for a particular project and all this jazz. So that's my fun story of bureaucracy. Now, I don't know, let's talk about ADHD some. Now, unfortunately, what are you like taking video or are you still researching cancer?
I'm not taking video.
You need to stop researching cancer on the podcast. You can destroy your sanity after the podcast.
I'm just anxiously scrolling.
Yes, I see. So right now, I'm going through a renaissance of understanding ADHD.
I could really go for some guacamole.
I thought you really wanted a glass of wine. No. Was, oh, okay.
A glass of cancer, you mean?
Yes. I just got you a nice big box of cancer. Are you sure you don't want some? Do we have guacamole?
We have avocados.
Oh, we'd have to make guacamole. Okay, after the podcast. So I'm going through this renaissance of understanding ADHD in my life. And so I kind of wanted to talk about it some and how I'm seeing areas that it affects my life. And yeah, where I'm getting some deeper understanding of it. I want to talk first about how ADHD actually works. A lot of times when we hear about ADHD in the culture, it gets boiled down to, oh, these people are just really distracted or hyper all the time or they can't think straight or...
Boy, I could really go for some guacamole.
Yeah. Yes. Which really helps someone with ADHD keep their brain on track.
I don't really actually think I want guacamole, but I thought it would be a useful...
example. I see. Oh, I see. You were playing. You were
I did
the
want
meta
guacamole
game.
At some point, but now I think I do.
Which is actually a common thing for ADHD for people with ADHD to have happen. Get really interested in something and then decide, oh no, never mind. This is boring. I'm gonna go do something else. So anyway, the current running theory of what ADHD is centered around our processing of dopamine. So the current theory is, I believe, a lack we have much fewer dopamine receptors in our brain. So we need a lot more dopamine in order to function, in order to have as much dopamine as other normal people have. So we're constantly seeking out stimulation to bring the dopamine up in our brain so that we can, you know, function like normal people, which is why we tend to get distracted, et cetera, or we move around to different interesting things. We can't. So what this means for us is that interesting things for most people are just kind of meh for us, and things that other people would find boring are torture to us. Which is why you'll find generally organization is not high on a person with ADHD's list. Laundry is always in a basket instead of folded, and all like sort of the mundane things. We go get takeout a lot. Actually, I think there tends to be a higher correlation that people with ADHD get like eat a lot more sweet or processed foods, because the reward is much higher there in our brains. Also possibly because we just don't want to make our own food. But things like that, and ADHD, which is the summary for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, is not a very good descriptor of what ADHD actually is. It could better be called a executive function disorder. So the executive function in one's brain is the part of the brain that is able to control impulses, decide what to do. For someone with ADHD, when you have a bunch of inputs coming in, all of them hold equal importance to us. We can't really sort through and make one thing more important or less important, or it takes a lot more effort for that to be the case. Or our brain will decide that, oh, I'm just going to concentrate on this. And then we hyper-focus on that for about 16 hours until we wake up, until we realize at 3 a.m. that we should probably go to sleep. So there's also a lot of a procrastination that happens with this sort of thing. Often the reason for that is, again, everything tends to hold equal importance in our brains. So we tend to get very overwhelmed with simple tasks. We see everything as needing to get done right away, or we see all of the things that need to get done, and then we see that as a big wall that's too hard to get over, and so we just don't go for it right away. And like the more I think about these things, the more I realize like the various projects at work that have definitely hit all of those triggers for me that I just put down and did not get to until much, much later, because they were just intimidating projects for me that probably wouldn't be to someone else, or they would just buckle down and do it. It's been a bit of a learning process. Is there anything that you want to talk about as far as this process of sort of relearning this? 'Cause we never really had a huge ADHD discussion at the beginning of our relationship, aside from the fact that I had ADHD, and frankly, mm-hmm. I didn't know a lot about ADHD at that point.
And you was on medication for it. I was on medication.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, at that point, I didn't know, I honestly didn't know a lot about what ADHD actually was or exactly how it affected me, because I got it, or I was diagnosed as a kid, and at that point, school was my life, and I knew how it affected me in school. And medication helped with that.
Mm-hmm.
But now
your mom tells a story about you coming down stairs to talk to her, like the first time that you were medicated, or as medication was mm-hmm. starting to work for you, and mm-hmm. you were like, "I can think,
yeah,
I can think clearly."
Yeah, and but as an adult and as a father and a husband, my life is very different than it was back then. Mm-hmm. And between then and now, I just never thought about how it affects my life or kind of how to
I always appreciated Derek on espresso and Derek with coffee. I mean, to be honest, like mm-hmm. I mean, coffee did espresso did way more for you, but
yeah Because a cup of coffee isn't going to do much for me. Like, it doesn't affect me like normal people because it's a limited amount of stimulation. But espresso has a lot more caffeine in it, so that'll perk me right up.
Yeah. Basically, just now, like, accepting all of the things that Derek's ADHD creates positively for him, like, probably the hyper-focus really helped in the whole him snagging me and marrying me relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. And then just working through how to best love him and serve him and encourage him in the more challenging areas, mm-hmm. In a gracious way.
Yeah.
But again, like, you're such a servant-hearted, tender person. I didn't feel like I was, like, missing out on something. There was a lot of things that when you switched off medication, I was just like, oh, Derek isn't able to do these things, but I didn't actually tie it to the ADHD. Like, I knew you were well-meaning, but, you know, like the burp cloth.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
I had said to you a few times, like, you need to take it out of the bed with you after she eats, but, so I just decided I wasn't going to have the burp cloth anymore. And then suddenly you were hyper aware of that. I didn't have the burp cloth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it can make communication a little bit different. And also something that I didn't realize with ADHD is our emotions can be way out of whack too, which can lead to anxiety for a lot of people, which I don't feel like I deal with a whole lot. I think my personality tends to brush off a lot of that as like, oh, just don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always the emotional kid, you know, crying at or crying or feeling very emotional with certain forms of entertainment. And
I love that.
Yeah. Well, I never tied it to my ADHD, which it totally is a thing. It's what is it? RSD? That's something that's related to that. Sorry, never mind about that. So I've been able to see the kind of like trace back, like, oh, there's some things that I definitely do because I don't tend to trust my emotions very much because I know my emotions can be big and fleeting and mm-hmm. it'll get better after a day or two. Mm-hmm. And
you are a very even-keeled person.
Mm-hmm.
I think where you also see that is that you are 1,010% motivated, or when your motivation fails you, you are defeated.
Yeah.
Like, there's not really a middle ground to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
And most of the time you're 1,010% motivated.
Well, yeah. And
saying like when you're tackling something that you feel like you need to make a change in.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I'm playing around with some different techniques for helping me be useful and like helping me, I don't know, just organize myself or hack my ADHD to, you know.
And you found your right medicated range now.
Yep. Yep. Tried
you
to
found what was too high and yeah, what was too low. Fun.
We were trying different, my doctor and I were trying different strengths of Concerta, and I was always on 36 milligrams before, but she was working me up from 18, and I was like, well, so 36 seems to be working okay for me now, it's because we got to that point, but I'd like to try 54 just to see what it does, and then 3 days into taking that, I nearly had a panic attack, and so we're not going to do that again.
Nope.
None of that. Nope. Don't want that.
How much was that you had a panic attack on?
54 milligrams.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how much were you taking before?
36.
Okay. And how much are you taking now?
36.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
But imagine that.
Imagine that. Yes. The reason stimulants work, by the way, for ADHD people, Concerta is a stimulant. It's like a massive cup of coffee that gets doled out over the course of the day, with some sort of magic, I don't know how they do that with pills, but that's not my business, it raises the dopamine levels in the brain so that we don't need to seek out as much stimulation. It doesn't solve the the symptoms, but it does help. But anyway, some tools that I've been working on using, I've started doing written down lists, which has been surprisingly helpful. Now, not today for whatever reason, but we'll get back up on the horse tomorrow and see what happens. But like writing down a list and then checking it off, gives that sort of a reward and like feeling of progress. Because once we start feeling like we're not making progress with something, we start feeling defeated and like that high emotional intensity kicks in, and then we don't really want to do anything else, and then, you know, it's kind of a spiral. Because we know the feeling of failure and we don't like it very much. But yeah, so lists have been helpful, and it's actually been interesting to realize as I've been looking back on the last, you know, 5 years at my job and 5 or 6 years at my job, and seeing how I have kind of instinctually been drawn to processes that are good for people with ADHD that I haven't been going to necessarily because I've been conscious of the fact I've had ADHD, but I've always been really into processes and making things easier as opposed to saving money or as opposed to just buckling through and doing it myself. If I can make steps easier, I will, because I know that then I will do the thing much more likely. I will be much more likely to do the thing, and it will get done faster, and we'll all feel good about it and all that stuff. So yeah, it's cool to see those trends, and it will continue to be a learning process. So I'm excited. I'm energized. If you have ADHD or you want to learn more about ADHD, check out How To ADHD on YouTube. She has been an incredible help in my learning about what ADHD actually is, how it works, learning about the symptoms and how to combat them and all this stuff. So, yeah, it's been, I feel like I know myself a lot better now, and I just want that to continue. Have anything else to add? Are you still reading about cancer over there?
No.
Tanya.
I'm not.
You poor thing.
I'm okay.
I'm not
going
to be, you're not going to go to sleep until like 12 tonight because you'll be thinking about alcohol and cancer.
Everything is fine.
All right. Well, let's start winding down for the night then. I love you. Thank you for podcasting with me.
I love you too. I hope that we don't die.
I don't think we'll have that problem, but it's good
to
think about.
Eventually we will.
Eventually. Hopefully our death is not accelerated. Easy breezy. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want to follow or talk to us, you can do that on Instagram at SetToLearn or leave us a voice message at talk.settolearn.com. But until next time, keep learning.